Thank you for listening to this recording of Family Bible Church's Sunday morning message. We pray that God will use this word to bless and encourage you.
All right, so we read from 2 Kings 18, or 20, and from 2 Chronicles 32. But as you can see on your sermon note sheets as well, and as was recorded there in 2 Chronicles 32, that Isaiah also included writings concerning Hezekiah in his writings. And so Isaiah 38 and Isaiah 39 is the same thing that we just read, written again in the book of Isaiah. Hezekiah was a very, very important king. He was a very, very accomplished king. In fact, as we talked about the last couple weeks, the Word of God says about Hezekiah that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. And it's just, again, I know I've said it as, you know, repetition is key to learning, but for me, this is an astounding statement. When I think of David, when I think of Solomon, I think of Uzziah or Azariah, depending on which way you want to talk about him. You know, when you think of all the kings that were prior to Hezekiah, to say that he was greater than all the kings who came after him, well, we can probably handle that one because we know what's going to happen. But you have Josiah who's still going to come, right? I mean, Josiah is the one who's going to go and destroy the altars of the north. So, I mean, there's still some good kings that are going to be coming. But to say that this guy is what? He's the best of the best. There were none like him. That includes David. It's an amazing thing. And so we have spent, this is the 82nd message in this whole series, okay, as we've gone from Samuel's through the kings, okay? And we're again winding down. We only have a few left. The Sunday after Thanksgiving is the last message right now, at least, Lord willing, as they're planned out. And we'll be moving on to 1 Corinthians after that, in beginning in December. But as we look at this then, it's just an amazing thing. And what we've seen in Hezekiah's life is that when Hezekiah, he began to become king, when he began to reign, his father was who? Anybody remember? Ahaz. Yeah, we had sundial Ahaz. That was his father, Ahaz. And Ahaz was what? A wicked king. Bad king, right? And so Hezekiah becomes the king, and immediately what does he do? Cleanses the temple, cleanses the priesthood, consecration, looking for consecration in the land. He's bringing back true worship, right? He's going to bring back the sacrifices. He's getting rid of all the false idols. Remember, and it starts this revival then, you know, the restoration of true worship. It begins a revival that sweeps the land, okay? And in that revival that's sweeping the land, they get rid of all the idols and they get rid of everything else. They get rid of Nehushtan. Nehushtan was? The bronze serpent, okay? That was the bronze serpent that was put upon the post that Moses had made all the way back in the wilderness. It had become God to them. It became an idol. They began to worship Nehushtan, okay? And so he gets rid of that as well. He's doing a phenomenal thing. And then God allows the Assyrians to come. The Assyrians have wiped out all the nations around about in Sennacherib, right? He begins to mock God. And as Chuck said eloquently as he was reading the scriptures, bad move. You know, you probably said it some other way, but that was exactly, I mean, it's just bad decision. You know, Sennacherib rebuked God and just reviled God. And so God came and he said, look, don't worry about Sennacherib. I'm going to what? I'm going to deliver you. And so we see that the repelling of Assyria, okay? And so this is all happening in Hezekiah's lifetime. In Hezekiah, he balked for a moment. Remember, he balked. We talked about this last week. He submitted to Sennacherib briefly, ever so briefly. Said, I've sinned. I shouldn't have done this. Please forgive me. What do you want? And Sennacherib comes back and says, I want 300 talents of silver and gold, right? Okay? And so Hezekiah does what? He strips down the pillars. He strips down the doors of the temple. He takes from God. Okay? He steals from God to pay Sennacherib. Okay? And so what happened? Sennacherib wasn't pleased with that. He wanted more. That's exactly right. And so remember the story. That's the application, right? I mean, Satan never is going to be content, right? Don't give in, because what's he want? More. Just like us, right? How much money do you need? Just a little more. just a little bit more. Wonder if that's from the devil, doesn't it? Okay, because Satan always wants what? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. He wants to destroy you. That's ultimately what he wants. He doesn't want you just to submit to him. He wants to destroy you. And so Hezekiah realizes that, right? He submits. He has this moment where he balks, right? And he takes what is from God's temple to give to the enemy of God, right? And then he realizes the enemy of God is what? The enemy of God, period. And he's not going to be content until he destroys, right? And so what does he do with that moment? He repents. He turns back to God. And he watches God deliver Jerusalem and watches God deliver Judah. It's an amazing thing. However, as we've seen with Azariah, who was also Uzziah, who was a phenomenal king, who had great military prowess, who had great military innovations, when he came to the end of his reign, toward the end of his reign, he began what? He became lifted up. And what did he choose to do? Anybody remember what did Azariah do? He went to burn incense. He decided that he could go and burn incense to God. He went into the temple to do which was only the priest's job to do. Remember? And the priests came and they withstood him. Do you remember? Good priests, okay? They came and they withstood him. And what happened to Azariah / Uzziah at that time? He got leprosy. That's exactly right. He got leprosy, okay? And so David, man after God's own heart, stood before God, trusted in the Lord, stood before Goliath, right? I mean, this is everybody else is shaking in their armor. I always love that from Casting Crowns, you know, the voice of truth, you know, the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor. Just, you know, just so picturesque. You know, here's David. He can't wear the armor. He doesn't want the armor. He's just going out with a sling and a stone. He's got the whole army of Israel behind him. And what are they doing? They're trembling in fear, right? And Goliath stand there. Am I a dog that you know? And so, and you almost see Davy out there, right? Want to say, yeah, really, you are. But that's okay, you know. And he doesn't say that. He stands there and he says, you come against me with what? A spear and a sword, right? But I come to you, what? In the name of the Lord. And today, I'm going to give your body to the birds of the air. I'm going to cut off your head. I mean, he's standing with what? He doesn't have a sword to cut off his head. He's just, you know, so this is a phenomenal king. What a great king, right? And yet, in the end days of David, what does he do? He turns away from God and he chooses to have adultery with Bathsheba and then kill her husband. So today we're going to move into this sad phase for Hezekiah. And guys who look like me, okay, this is a warning for us. Because as we get softer in our old age, say it isn't so, right, Rodney? I mean, we don't get soft, you know, no. We hold fast, hard, and true. As we get older and we get grandpa stages and life becomes a little bit softer for us, you know? And so if you're really soft in your younger days, watch out, right? Okay, anyways, that the battles, we become weaker in the battles. Why do we send young guys off to war? They don't think. Anyways, no fear, you know. We get a little bit older and we go, what? I don't think I want to die. We'll let the younger guys do that, you know. The sad thing is that whole concept begins to play out in a lot of areas. Many theologians who have led the church astray were older. I've been older. It's sad to me. And so, look, I mean, I've said this numerous times. I want you to hold me accountable. If I go way out there in wacko-wacko land, hold me accountable. If I'm out there in wacko-wacko land, I'm not going to want to hear you, okay? Because I'm in my flesh. I'm just telling you. But I'm telling you now while I'm in my spirit, I want to what? I want to be held accountable. So don't listen to wacko-wacko land guys say, you know. So everything we believe has got to be what? Based upon this word. That's exactly right. If it goes against this word, it's what? It's false. It's wrong. Okay? The sad thing is, when I take my eyes off of God and his standards, and I place them where? Upon myself. And upon my own desires, and upon what I want. I get into that retirement mode. Nothing personal for you guys who are in that retirement mode. I get into that retirement mode, and life is about who? It's about me. It's not about me. It's never about me. Never let retirement mode make you focus on me. All retirement mode means, it should mean, all retirement mode should mean is now I have more time to what? Serve and focus on God. Okay? That's not the American mindset, is it? Repent. Change the way you think. If you change the way you think, metanoia, change the way you think, it'll change the way you act. Don't think like the rest of the Gentiles think. Isn't that what we're told by Paul in Ephesians? Don't think like the rest of the Gentiles think. Let the mind of Christ be in you. What's the mind of Christ? It's all about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things will be added unto you. Okay? So Hezekiah, though, is in retirement mode. We're going to see this in a moment, how this all starts to play out, okay? And it starts to play out with this sad thing. Oh, here we go. I forgot. I wanted to play this out. However, even the great men struggle. So a mindful thing for me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right? All these things happen to them as what? As examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the end of the ages have come. There is no temptation, no troublesome situation, no periosmoi. Okay, again, the word periosmoi, I talked to the men yesterday morning in the men's breakfast. Periosmos is the Greek word, okay, which is for a troublesome situation. It can be translated temptation. It can be translated trial. Okay, so in James chapter 1, brethren, count it all joys when you fall into diverse kinds of trials. Periosmoi, okay? But then later on in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endureth, what? Temptation. Same word, periosmoi, okay? Flip the coin. Get the coin, flip it, it comes up heads. What was it? Oh, it was a trial. Why? Because the troublesome situation came in and you handled it well. It revealed faith in you and you grew in Christ. Flip the coin, it comes up tails. Oh, it was a temptation. Why? Because it revealed sin in you. Do you understand? It's a troublesome situation. It's all it is. It's a tribulation. It's a troublesome situation. How you respond to it reveals whether it was a temptation or a trial. So read this again, but put troublesome situation in there. No troublesome situation has overtaken you, but such as what? Common to man. You're not special. This one's not just for you. We think that way, don't we? No one else what understands me. No one else gets what's going on in my life. Yes, everybody does. They all struggle in the same way, okay? No troublesome situations overtaken you, but such is common to man. But God is he? Is he? Yeah, we say that. But do we believe that when the troublesome situation comes in? Oh, God, what are you doing? Do you know what's going on in my life right now? Do you know how many things I got to get accomplished by Saturday? I mean, I've got a message to give on Sunday, and I'm serving you, God. And you got this woman who wants to give me a security system, and I don't do security system. But she said, oh, I don't trust anybody else. And now you're going to do a security system, and I got to think up my brains on this. And then my in-laws are coming into town, and they want to spend 2 days with me. And then all this is going to happen. And then I got the men's breakfast on Saturday, and I got to put in the trim for my son, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. God, do you not understand what's going on? There's no troublesome situation, son, that's overtaking you. But what? Such is common to man. But I am what? I am faithful. Oh, yeah, you're right. You are. I am faithful. God is faithful in that he will not allow me to be what? Troubled beyond what I'm able to what? Bear. So if I can't bear it, whose fault is it? Oops. You all said mine, so I can blame it on you. If I can't put up with it, it's your fault. You just said that, okay? So anyways, that's right. It's my fault. But God gives me a what? Gives me the hyperspace button. Do you remember old Asteroids? You remember the Asteroids game? You know, Zeke. I'm looking at some of you younger ones, and you're saying, what? You older guys, you get a, you know, the little triangle thing, because we didn't have much graphics otherwise, and these little blobs coming at us. You know, all of a sudden, the asteroids are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're coming around me more and more and more, and I can't handle it. I do what? I hit hyperspace, and I just disappear from all the troublesome situation that's going on, and I pop up someplace else on the screen, and I now have another opportunity. God gives us the hyperspace button. That's him. If I can't handle it, what do? I run to God. I pray. I get fully into God. God can do this. What happens, though, like Hezekiah, like Uzziah, like David, I begin to focus on who? On me. And this troublesome situation comes, whether it's a temptation or a trial, it comes into my life. Satan loves to do this, right? He loves to put those little stumbling blocks in my path. Can Satan make me stumble? No. He can't make you stumble. He can inspire somebody to put a billboard on the interstate that may make your thought processes go someplace, but he can't make you continue to think on it and meditate upon it. Do you get it? He can have somebody inspire somebody to whistle a tune. I used to DJ. I get that stuff. I hate it. He can inspire somebody, whatever, to get them to whistle and tunes around me, but he can't what? He can't make me continue to meditate upon that song. Who does that? I do. There are times when I wake up in the morning. I love this past week. I mean, I've been waking up with praise songs, but there are times when I wake up in the morning and I'm singing a song from my past. Whether I got it at Lowe's or Home Depot, I don't know, but all of a sudden I'm waking up and I'm singing this song that I know from the past. I'm like, so what do? Well, I'm in a shower. I start singing all the kind of praise songs. You know, it depends if Marcia's asleep, then I got to do it quietly. But if she's up, and I can sing it louder, okay? But I'm going to do everything I can to go through a whole entourage of hymns and choruses that set my mind on things above, to replace it. That's exactly right, okay? I have to realize I'm in a spiritual war. All the time I'm in a spiritual war. And so I've got to be careful. So, like with Hezekiah is going to come up to this troublesome situation. What's his troublesome situation? His illness. Okay, as we just read, Hezekiah comes to this illness. And God sends Isaiah to him with his word. Okay, thus says Yahweh, thus says the Lord. This illness is what? It's going to kill you. You know what? From the moment you were born, you were destined to what? None of us like to hear that, and we like to say that contritely, but really, honestly, none of us like to really think about the fact that one day we're going to what? Die. How many of you have ever been through the portal of death before? None of you. So you don't know what it's like. I'm afraid of the unknown. That's why I talk about this security system, because I've never done it before. So it drives me bonkers. My brain spins on it, trying to figure out how it's going to play out. I don't do that so much with bathroom remodels anymore. I did when the first one I did. But now I don't really worry about bathroom remodels anymore, because I've done enough of them that I don't spin on it. But I've never been through the portal of death before. I've never been to heaven. Have you been to heaven? Do you know what it's really like? I'm not trying to get you to doubt your faith, but you know what? I mean, I don't know. People say, what's heaven like? I don't know. I've never been there. When I get there, I'll send you a postcard. No, I probably won't. But you get what I'm saying? When I get there, I know it's going to be glorious. I know it's going to be beyond my comprehension, but I've never done it before. I can imagine Hezekiah at this moment. He's sick. And not only is he sick, but now God sends his prophet. And the prophet says what? Hey, Hezekiah, this is your deathbed. This isn't just a sick bed. This is your deathbed. Do you ever wonder what people go through when they find out they have cancer and they're given 3 months to live? 6 months to live? All of a sudden they begin to do what? Reminisce. But they want to do the things. Go ahead.
Disneyland.
Why? You're sitting so far up, Zoe, you threw me off. I was looking way back for you. I knew the voice, and I'm looking way in the back. I was like, yeah, it's Carrie and Natasha back there. This isn't making any sense. Where is this voice coming from? Yeah, I've never been there before. They do the things that they've never done before, or they want to do the things that they should have done all of their life. That's exactly right. All of a sudden, priorities what? Change. They should never change. You should already have the priorities now. It's like you're going to die today, because none of you have a guarantee that you're getting home. I mean, I could have a heart attack. I've heard of pastors having heart attacks even when they're in the middle of preaching. Okay? None of us have a guarantee that we're living past today. Those who are told you have 3 months, 6 months, 12 months to live, at least that's God's grace of giving them an opportunity to what? Make things right. We ought to live like we're dying today. Hezekiah, this came as a crushing blow. This isn't just your sickbed. This is your deathbed. So Hezekiah does what? He prays. He prays. Now, I think this is pretty cool. Because immediately, what is, he doesn't get angry. He turns to him who he knows is the creator of the ends of the earth, who holds life in his hands. And if there's anyone who can change the prognosis, it's who? It's God. My sister has scleroderma. She was diagnosed, I don't know if she was in the late 20s or early 30s. She wouldn't live past 40. She just turned 55. It's been great for her. She came to know Christ as a result of it. She's been serving as a result of it. She's getting her master's degree at the University of Pittsburgh to do what? To minister to other people who have illnesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. She had to write this paper, do this project on dealing with this stuff. And so she bought, I wish I had my other Bible with me. She bought a journaling Bible. And she journaled. I didn't know she was a great artist. She's a phenomenal artist. She's putting caricatures and all this kind of stuff in this journaling Bible. She has drawn pictures and these memes and stuff like that and these posters that you see. She's doing this in her Bible. It's phenomenal. That was her project. All these Bible verses and all these promises from God and all these truths. And she turned it in to this secular university for a master's degree program. Faith is the key. Faith is the key to dealing with this stress. He loved it, asked to keep it. Like a dummy, she said, yes, you can have it. Anyways, so now she doesn't have all that stuff. She realized that after I was talking to her. She was like, what was I thinking? You can have a copy of it. I gave him the whole thing. He has it. So anyways, but an opportunity to be a what? A testimony. She turned to the one who does what? Who has the key. Make sense? Now, God doesn't have to say what? Yes, I'll heal you. He doesn't have to do that. But he what? But he can. But he can. And so Isaiah turns to God, and he cries out to God and says, oh, God, do you not know how much I've what? I've served you. How I've done these things. Now, there's a little bit of pride coming out here, and we're going to see pride growing here, okay? There's a little bit of what? Pride going on here, okay? He's focusing on who? Himself, right? But God, in his grace, does what? He heals him. The grace of God is extended to Hezekiah. He doesn't have to do this. He chooses to do this. Would God have been any less just to let Hezekiah die when he was going to die? No. I mean, clearly, through David, he writes in the Psalms that the days of man are 70, and if by strength, what? 80. That the days of man are already what? Written in a book, right? So I don't know what day I'm going to die, but God does. I'm already dead. I just don't know when. Isn't that weird? Tomorrow's already happened. I just haven't experienced it. So y'all dead people, okay? But we're what? Dead people who were made alive. I have eternal life right now. You can't what? Kill me. You can't kill me. How cool is that? You can stop my tent from standing upright on this earth, but you can't kill me. I live inside of here, and I'm going to live forever. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. But if your only hope is here, boy, you're miserable. Now, I'm not looking forward. I'm not looking to make my exit quicker, okay? But I can tell you, even though I may be a little bit anxious about what the in-between stage looks like, I'm looking forward to what? The other side. You get it? I don't know what it's like, but I know the God who created it. And I know it's going to be exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Do you get it? I mean, so I don't have to comprehend it. I don't have to be able to describe it. I mean, the streets of gold, I don't know, man. I mean, that's a pure gold because, you know, really pure gold, you can do what? You can see right through it, and it's so soft, you're probably going to be like, wing, wing, wing. You know? So, I mean, you know, just be careful how far you go with the analogies that God is giving you with this stuff. Does that make sense? What he's trying to present to you is that this is something beyond what you could ever what? You could even imagine. If you can imagine it, it's not that good. It's even better. You got it? Anyways, so God in his grace, he comes and he heals Hezekiah, okay? He's going to give him this healing, okay? He's going to give him what? 15 years. I mean, Hezekiah starts praying. I mean, this is phenomenal to me, right? Isaiah comes in. Can you be Hezekiah for a moment? Doug, right? So, Hezekiah, I tell you this, buddy, but this isn't just your sick bed, but this is your deathbed. God has declared, thus says the Lord, that you're going to die. Right? And then I do what? I turn around and I leave. Immediately, Hezekiah does what? He rolls over to the wall and he starts what? Crying out to God. Before I ever get out of the court, how cool is this? I haven't even gotten home. Before I even get to the court, God says what? Hey, turn around. Go tell them this. What? You just had me say this. Did you ever do this before? Clearly, I don't know. Either God wasn't talking to me then or he isn't talking to me now. Because this and that didn't what? It didn't compute together. But does God reserve the right to do that? Be careful. Do not put God in a box. Okay? He's going to be consistent with his word. Okay? But don't put him in a box. Isaiah didn't put him in a box. Isaiah heard the word of the Lord. He knew it was God speaking and did what? He turned around and he came back. He says, God has heard you cry. And then he does what? See, now this is where a lot of false theologies come out, okay? He does what? He puts a lump of what? Figs on him and he heals him, right? No! The lump of figs did nothing. God already healed him. So now everybody's going to go out and buy figs to make poultices out of this stuff so they can draw out all the bad stuff. You can draw out all the evil spirits. You can draw out all the germs and everything. And you can, God's word, figs, it's the miracle cure. Wait, just don't start doing it yet. I'm going to go buy stock in the figs, okay? And there's a fig tree, right? Oh, the fig tree, right? It's got to be of God. God gave us this property, and there's a fig tree right at the end of the driveway. You can go get your own miracle drug. It's right down the end. Just don't tell the FDA because they're going to want to what? Put regulations all over it. Anyways, you laugh. I can tell you another one. That would be a rabbit trail. Anyways, but this is how false theologies start, man. You know, the vegetarianism because Daniel and his friends were what? Vegetarian. So God wants you to be a vegetarian. No, man. It's because they didn't want to eat the food that was offered unto idols. I could go on to all these theologies that people just grab a little thing out of the whole context and they make a theology out of it. Like, you totally missed the whole point of this passage. This has nothing to do with a fig poultice. It has everything to do with what? The grace of God. Do you get it? He was a dead man. He was dead. Dead, dead, dead. He cried out to God. God went back and said, you are now alive. Does this sound like salvation to you? I'm not saying that Hezekiah was not saved, but you get what I'm saying? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We cry out to God, and God does what? He makes us alive by his grace, by his grace. But this is amazing as it is. But this next part is even more amazing to me. He gives him a sign. He gives him a what? Wait a second. You believed when the word of the Lord came and said that you were a dead man. Why can't you believe when the word of the Lord comes and says you have 15 more years? You want a what? You want a sign to know this is what? True? How gracious of our God. To what? Okay, I'll give you a sign. Here, I'll let you pick. You want the sun to go down this 10 degrees this way or the sun to go down 10 degrees that way? You want to go forward, you want to go backwards? Hezekiah is not a dumb guy, right? I mean, what kind of prophecy is that? We're going to have the sun go forward 10 degrees. Big deal. It goes forward 10 degrees all the time. No, I think I'm going to have the sun to go what? Backwards 10 degrees. Do you know what that means? That means time went backwards. No, it doesn't mean the time went backwards. It means the sun went backwards. It means the earth went backwards. It means the light refracted backwards. I don't know what it means. All I know is that for Hezekiah, he was able to see what? On the sundial of Ahaz, it went backwards 10 degrees. Does that make sense? You track what I'm saying? So it would appear that what? Time went backwards. Didn't just stand still like in the days of Joshua. Time went backwards. I don't know how that miracle played out. But I know it what? It happened. And that God in his grace laid out that, you know, Hezekiah wanted that fleece, just like Gideon, right? And God what? God allowed it. Look, people talk about fleeces and they talk about this and they talk about that. And I'm, again, don't want to make a theology on this, okay? But even the guy who had the son who was had the demon and was throwing him in the water and throwing him in the fire, and Jesus said all things were possible to him who believes. He said to Jesus, what? Lord, I believe. No, help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Isn't that what Gideon basically said? Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Isn't that what Hezekiah says? Lord, help me in my what? My unbelief. I'm struggling right now. I don't know what to believe. Help me out. Now, it would be nice if we didn't need that. But sometimes we do, don't we? And God is a God of grace. Would you not do that for your own kids? To confirm to them your word is true? How much greater our God, who loves us even infinitely more than we love our own kids? So, be careful that you don't do it. But how awesome is that? I mean, God could have said what? Dude, what's your problem? I was going to kill you. I was going to let you die at this moment, but I'm giving you 15 more years. Forget it. It's gone now. Isaiah, give me the new message. You had it, but you lost it. That's Bob. But God is great. Okay? So, but now we come to Hezekiah's pride, which we see this inkling's coming out, right? And so right on the heels of this now, he gets 15 more years. It's a bad 15 years. We're going to see this again next week when we come to Manasseh. Bad 15 years. But God allows it, okay? And so immediately afterwards, Hezekiah has visitors. And they're coming from the far distant country of Babylon. Well, it was. I mean, it's not as bad as it was in the days of Joshua, you know, when they came from the far distant country of, well, the city of Gibeon, actually. But they didn't know that, right? Because they didn't what? They didn't ask God for wisdom. They just saw the moldy bread and the dried out wineskins, and they assumed, right? And so they did what? They made a covenant with them, and then all of a sudden they find out, oops, they're a day and a half away. Okay? So bad decision. Well, same thing happens with Hezekiah. He's all full of himself at this point, right? Remember when he prayed? Because he was going to die, right? What was his prayer? Remember I said the inklings of pride. What did he pray? Remember all the things I've done for you, God. And so when God turned Isaiah around to come back to talk to Hezekiah, in Hezekiah's brain, it's just a confirmation of what? Yeah, I am such a good guy. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's how he thought, but that's what I'm reading between the lines. Again, I like to put myself in these people's positions, right? And I think that's got to be how he's thinking. He's so lifted up on himself now, you know? I mean, this is really cool. He is the guy. I mean, everybody says he's the guy. There is none who has trusted God even before him or after him, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And so even the kings of the earth now are doing what? They're coming to pay homage to him. They heard about how God has healed him. And we read in 2 Chronicles 32 that they also heard about the wondrous things that were going on in the land. What were the wondrous things that were going on in the land? Well, you had the tunnel and the pool. The restoration of the worship and the revival that's going on in the land. How they're destroying. I mean, look at, just remember what we said yesterday with the men's breakfast, you know, that when they come out of the Exodus and God does all these things that the children of Israel would know that he was God, that Pharaoh would know that he was God, that the people of Egypt would know that he is God, that the world would know what? That he is God. So when they get to Jericho and the spies enter into Jericho, they wind up going into Rahab's house, and Rahab says what? We've heard. Oh, we've heard. And I know that your God is the true God. Okay? Words traveling, okay? I mean, I didn't have the internet. There wasn't anybody Twittering this stuff, you know? But words traveling. okay? And so they had heard over in Babylon, across the desert, up and around, okay? Iraq, modern Iraq, okay? Okay? They heard what was going on. Now, it wasn't like they got in a plane and jumped, you know, it was a couple of weeks travel, okay, to get there, okay? So they heard what was going on. And so the king of Babylon sends his entourage to Judah, to Hezekiah, to just check things out. Just check things out. Babylon is what? It's the new kid on the block. They're up and coming. Do you know who the world empire was after Assyria? Babylon. That's exactly right. And so this is not just an innocent, hey, we want to come and offer you our praises and everything else. You know, they wanted to what? Yeah, they had a little spy, a little espionage thing going on. And so what happens? Hezekiah gives them the imperial tour. Shows them what? Everything. Everything. Now, we're told, in the meantime, that Hezekiah has expanded after the Assyrian thing. After God wipes out the Assyrians, there's this kind of void in world empires. Okay? During this void of world empires, what's Hezekiah doing? He's reestablishing everything. He's expanding everything. Okay? And so he's becoming stronger and bolder and more prosperous. Okay? And so now he has all these things again, right? And this entourage from Babylon comes and they see everything. And so the word of the Lord comes to him and asks what he sees. But why does he do this? Why does he show him everything? Because of his pride. Because of his pride. Because of everything that he has accomplished. Let's think about this for a moment. Everything that what? He has accomplished. He showed him everything that he had gained. Everything that he had done. How was it accomplished? By God's hand. Who delivered him from the Assyrians? God did. Who gave him favor in the eyes of the people? God did. Who gave him 15 more years of life? God did. What did he do? He went on for the ride. God allowed him to be king. Do you realize I get a blast to be able to stand here and teach you God's word every Sunday? Chuck, tomorrow night, you're going to teach 300 plus guys the word of God. What a blast. What a privilege. What an honor. I mean, I know during when you're trying to study and work for it, it doesn't seem like it all the time. But what a privilege that we have. Chuck, how much did you have to crawl and climb and cut people down in order to climb that ladder of success with BSF? It was handed to you, wasn't it? Isn't it amazing? Yeah, when it started going to Bible studies. And then said, well, okay, I'll be a leader, and da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden people ask you, hey, would you be the next leader? I remember when I was first called to be a full-time at a church, thinking, I am so unworthy of this. I'm still unworthy of this. What a privilege I have. This isn't anything about Bob, but I can tell you that there are times when Bob's brain can become a little what? Shh, Phyllis, I can't believe you came up with that I would even be prideful at all. You would, you know, just, I would be confused maybe, but prideful, yeah, that's exactly right. That's why I don't stand in the back door. I don't want you guys to come up to me and tell me what a great message it was. Find me out. If the Lord really burdened you with it, where, you know, then you want to come, you feel like the Lord wants you to come and talk to me, then do that. But I don't need there to have my brain like a big balloon going boom, boom, boom. It does it anyway. There is no troublesome situation, what? That's overtaken me, but such is common to man. Just in the same pride that you struggle with, I struggle with too. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's all there. I'm not going to hide it and act like I'm not a prideful individual. I'm a prideful. I'm stinking prideful. Okay? Well, maybe not as much as you are. No, sorry. You get it? I mean, you know, how silly is that, you know? But don't we do that? Okay, we do that. So anyways, he gives them the imperial tour because he's what? He's it. God said he was it. He healed him, gave him 15 more years because he was it. If anybody is it, Hezekiah is it. At least Hezekiah, what? think so. Well, then we see his callousness. Oh, this is the part that hurts me the worst when I read this about these kings. The reprimand of Yahweh comes against them. Reprimand of the Lord comes and judges them. Isaiah says, what did they see? It showed them everything. Well, hear the word of the Lord. These same Babylonians who are such a far distant country, they're going to be the same ones who do what? They're going to come take everything you got. In fact, they're not going to take everything. But did you hear everything that happened? It is really kind of a cool thing because this is a prophecy within a prophecy. And he's going to take some of your sons and he's going to make them what? Eunuchs in the palace. Do you know we're talking about? That's right. We're talking about Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Belteshazzar. Daniel chapter 1. They had the chief of the eunuchs over them. They became eunuchs. Okay, we're not teaching on Daniel, but just put that in your memory bank. That's really that's a powerful statement. Okay, and they're there. Why? Because of what Hezekiah did. Ooh. Ouch. Yeah, really ouch. You're not a guy. Anyways, and so some of you guys are starting to get that one. Anyways, yeah. I mean, the effects of my sin, we talked about the ripples of the waves, right? We're given a very specific one. And then we find out later on the people who were affected by it. Ouch. Literally. But God used it in amazing. God still takes what is meant for evil and what? Uses it for good. Thank you, Chuck. That's exactly right. It fit right within God's plan. You know that, so Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even when those troublesome situations come into my life, remember, he's allowed them through the sift of his grace and his love. Why? Because it's good for me. Even if I fall, he didn't mean it for me to fall, but even if I fall, it revealed what? It revealed sin in me. It revealed the dross that was still in me that he wants to cleanse away from me. It's how I respond to it. Do you get it? That's God loves me. God loves me enough to allow me to go through troublesome situations. I'm not a Roboton. He doesn't want me to be a Roboton. He doesn't want me to just be a voice box. Praise God. Praise God. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Praise. I mean, that's silly. That gives him no glory. He wants me to worship him from my heart. So, we've got to move on. Reprimand the Lord. But this is the part that kills me. And this is the response of the king. How does Hezekiah respond? Whew! As long as it's not happening in my lifetime, we're good. Wow! I'm going to wipe out your grandkids. Your great-grandkids are going to be eunuchs. Oh, that's okay, as long as it doesn't happen in my lifetime. As long as I don't have to live to see it, we're all good. It makes me do a double take. It's like, wow, what are you thinking? Or what were you not thinking? It's just so foreign to my brain. So, so foreign. But you know what? Stop for a moment. When I fall to sin, when I make the willful decision to be angry and sin, not sin not, when I make the willful decision to entertain lustful thoughts, when I make the decision to listen to things I want to listen to or watch things I want to watch, rather than things that glorify God, rather than things that would edify my children, rather than things, do you get it? Do you know what I'm really doing? I'm willing to sacrifice the future generations for my momentary pleasure. I'm no different. It's just not written in the book for everybody to read. Every decision I make has got to come in the sieve of God's holiness. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Look, I know I can't be perfect, but that's no excuse. I have to press toward the mark for the goal, for the mark of the high prize of God in Christ Jesus. I got to work toward it. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to do this. I want to move toward it. But if I set my standard here, what good is it? Devin mentioned this that I hadn't, and I hadn't mentioned this for a long time. Years ago, many, many years ago now, it was on a Focus on the Family, and there was the guy who was the assistant chief of police in Los Angeles during the LA riots, before some of your days. Anyways, okay, so a long time ago. And his son came to him one day and said, "Dad, I figured out the problem with Christianity." He says, "Oh, really? That's good. People have been wondering this for thousands of years. Tell me what the problem is." And he said, "The problem is that the church is seeking to maintain its separation from the world. You know, the world's here, and the church is seeking to be separate." You say, "Okay." He said, "The problem is the world is on a downward slope. It's becoming increasingly worse and worse. And all we're doing is keeping our eyes focused on the world. And all we're doing is what? Staying 40 years behind them in their degradation. Rather, our eyes should be where? On the holiness of God. And so as our eyes are on the holiness of God and we're seeking to maintain this relationship with God, even though I may fall short of the glory of God, if I'm at least what? Seeking to get there, then I'm up here. And as the world is what? Getting worse and worse and worse, what should be the difference between a believer and the world? Increasingly more and more. And the sad thing is you can't tell today. You got camouflage Christians. We're no different than Hezekiah. We struggle in the same way. So in the end, Jesus stated that during the last days, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. If he said this is going to happen in the end days, and he was talking about then, how much closer, what, are we today? So are you still hot, or are you growing cold in your love for God? It's my prayer, Lord, I don't want to grow cold. I know I struggle in my sin. I know that I battle with the pummeling of the world. Lord, help me. Help me, help me to burn for you. Are you concerned how your decisions can affect others? Or do you don't even think about it? How prideful are you in claiming the victories that God has graciously provided you? Yeah, look what I did. No, it's not what look what I did. Look what God enabled me to do. This is all about God. It's not about Bob. Is there a need then to change the way you think and therefore change the way you act? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Hezekiah. Lord, I thank you for his life. I thank you for his love for you. I thank you that he trusted you, Lord, and that he gave you to glory. But Lord, as we consider this time of his life when he began focused on himself, Lord, and the consequences extended beyond, Lord, help us to learn from this. Help us to see in our own lives how prideful we can become and how self-focused. Lord, help us to give you the glory for everything that you have done in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the property that you've given to us. I thank you for this assembly. I thank you, Lord, for just the fellowship that we have. But Lord, help us not to focus just on the property or the fellowship, but again, to focus on your kingdom and to see why you have done what you've done and where you want to take us. In Christ's name, amen. Charles.
Hymn number 489.